Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Well, hey there. Good afternoon, everybody. Happy, happy Friday. How you doing? It's Sheeman Shepherd, always live and local, 2 to 6, Monday through Friday, right here on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Last day of AK, Fork 1, Craig Sheeman. He will be back with me on Monday. Chris, surprisingly, is alert, alive, and well as he gets ready for his worldwide book tour coming up over the weekend, starting in Paris. He is in the house. Rick Church on the other side of the glass producing. Well, just when you think it can't get nuttier in the NBA, a Woj bomb last night. I had just got done with the finale of Stranger Things, which was phenomenal, by the way. Got done watching the last two episodes, and lo and behold, just happened to look at my phone at the exact same time. We find out another blockbuster deal happens in the NBA. This is unlike anything I've ever seen between the free agency and the trades over the last, 10 days. Off the chart, as Oklahoma City sends Russell Westbrook to the Houston Rockets for Chris Paul, two protected first-round picks in 2024 and 26, both protected 1 through 4, by the way, and two pick swaps in 2021 and 2025. To the Thunder. All I can say is, wow. And we're not done yet with this. I'm absolutely convinced of it. And I think now the new rumors are going to be out there about Chris Paul coming to the Miami. He can't get Westbrook. Go get Chris Paul, maybe even a draft pick. Somebody, again, is going to have to blink. I still think it's a relevant theory, Chris. But I texted you last night. You probably thought I was joking.
No, I was packing for my book tour.
Oh, of course.
Looked down at my phone and I had about 15 notifications along with texts from you and a buddy of mine. And yeah, it was, I didn't see the Rockets as one of the teams.
Well, we mentioned it on Monday. And I think you were sick when you got, was it Monday?
So that was Tuesday.
Tuesday. But on Monday when the Miami Heat and the Detroit Pistons were kind of like in a 1-2, but we did mention the Rockets. They were sort of always in the mix, because that's what they do. They go after big-time talent. They don't always get it, a.k.a. Dwight Howard, a.k.a. Carmelo Anthony. I mean, they swing and miss sometimes, but they keep going. And this is probably, but you agree, Chris Paul is not staying in Oklahoma City. That's not happening. Another deal is going to go down involving Chris Paul and probably, if not one, several of those draft picks at Oklahoma City now stockpiled.
Well, that's what it's going to have to be.
Yes.
For a team to take on
Chris that Paul. Yes.
I mean, the dudes do over $110 million over the next three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crazy amount of money that the guy is going to make. And go look at his output from last year. It simply was not there. On top of not being effective when he was on the court, he was hurt throughout the season as well. So who's going to trade for a
124 mil left on three years.
Right, so who's going to trade for a 30... He's 34, right?
Yeah.
Who's going to trade for a 34-year-old with that type of salary cap number, with deteriorating numbers, deteriorating health? I don't see teams knocking down the door trying to bring him in, unless you get those draft picks coming back.
Now, if you keep him, you got Steven Adams as center, and you got Danilo Gallinari, their forward. I just don't see I don't see the Thunder heading in that direction, building around those three. I don't know.
No, I feel like the Thunder made this move because they wanted to move on from the Russell Westbrook era, where whenever you had him on your team in OKC, there were going to be expectations attached to that. Now that he's out of town, there's no expectation for this team. They can, I don't want to say tank mode, but they can go into a mode where they're clearly rebuilding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've acquired believe they have two first-round draft picks in every draft except one through 2026.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's unbelievable the draft capital that they've taken up.
They're the new Celtics. Yeah. I think they maybe even have exceeded what the Celtics did the last several years. But I agree. For him to go, and maybe this ends up being a good thing for Miami. Maybe Pat Riley takes the gamble. Obviously, there's going to have to be a draft pick coming back, but you're also talking about guys that they don't want to part with. And now, are they going to blink? Are they going to do, you know, if they want Bam, will they get rid of him? And Tyler Harrow, those are the two guys, it seems, that the Miami Heat are not reluctant to give up. But you may have to give up one to get Chris Paul and the draft picks if you're serious about it.
But why do you do that? Why, if you're the Miami Heat, why do you give up two good young pieces with upside where we saw Bam?
I don't think you give up two. I think I think it's got to be one or the other.
But if you're OKC and you're calling me, right? Hey, you know, I'm Pat Riley. Sam Presti. Sam Presti. Hey, Pat.
Sam.
You need that second. You need that second star in Miami to team up along Jimmy. Man, Chris Paul's your guy. If I'm Pat Riley, I'm going to say, okay. Well, what do you want in return? You come back with, well, you know, we really need an expiring contract, i.e. Goran Dragic, a guy who can come in and start at point for us, at least to start the year before Shaius Alexander gets healthy or gets experience enough where we can insert him into the starting lineup. And, yeah, you know what, Miami, we're also going to need either Tyler Harrow or Bam Adebayo. I'm hanging up the phone at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hanging it up. I'm not trading for an over-the-hill superstar to pair with my pretty good star. I'm not going to call Jimmy Butler a superstar.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense from the Miami Heat perspective unless you're Sam Presti and you throw in one or two of those draft picks.
What if somehow they can finagle? What if it's Kelly Olynyk and it could be Kelly Olynyk. I don't see how they get Chris Paul again. You know, sometimes GMs do things that you don't expect. I'm not sure, but they'll be in the mix for Chris Paul. I have no doubt they're going to be in the mix. They're in the mix for Russell Westbrook.
But I think those are two very different players that you're looking at. Where Russell Westbrook's 30 under contract until he's 34. Chris Paul's 34 under contract until he's 37. Yeah. I mean, that's
and he's going to make 30 over almost $40 million in the last year of his contract.
Over 40.
Yeah,
over 40. 40 his final year. Yeah, I don't.
I don't know. Maybe Pat Riley just says I'll just stand pat and hope for the best and build. I don't know. Maybe another team gets involved. Maybe Miami and Oklahoma City and another team get involved for another big deal. A third team somehow, some way.
You know,
if you're a Miami Heat fan, do you want? Would you say? Say it could get done. Say it cost you Olynyk and Dragic, and I don't know whatever, and throw in another name, and that's probably not it.
But I'm not throwing in Tyler Hero. I'm not throwing in Bam Adebayo. I'm not throwing in Justice Winslow.
Okay, that's why I didn't mention any of those three.
Right.
That's
okay.
Why. So I'm going to Olynyk and Dragic and pick whoever else you want somehow, some way. Presti agrees to it, and you get a draft pick back. You would have to get a draft pick back as well because of the contract that we talked about.
Right.
Would you be happy with Chris Paul and Jimmy Butler playing playing together in a backcourt?
With that deal, Dragic, Olynyk, which are two guys that will not be under contract this time next year, at least they'll have a new contract. Dragic going into the final year of his deal, Kelly Olynyk has a player option for the 2020-2021 season that a lot of people think he's not going to pick up because look at the money that's being thrown around on the on NBA free agents. If that's the deal, I'm okay with that as a Heat fan. I don't want to see any one of those three guys that I mentioned going to OKC. And I need a draft pick coming back. The Miami Heat don't have a lot of assets moving forward. If this Jimmy Butler thing doesn't work out, this is going to be a pretty mediocre to bad franchise for the next 5 to 10 years. So if I'm Pat Riley, I need one of those first-round draft picks that are unprotected. I need something coming back to me if I'm Pat Riley.
And if you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, what their starting five would be right now would be Chris Paul, probably Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Terrence Ferguson, Danilo Gallinari, and Steven Adams. That's not horrible.
It's not horrible, but,
it's
in,
not
the
horrible,
West, but in the Western Conference, it's one of the three worst starting fives out of the 15.
But you got Paul, you got Gallinari, and you got Steven Adams. Those are three potential to be, I mean,
those are three
really
good
players.
Those are three good players. But it's still, I mean, if that team were in the East, okay, they're probably fighting for like a 7-8 seed. But in the West, I mean, we can do it right now. We can go through 12 teams that are better than that right now.
Oh, I think so, too. But again, but overall, if you could get it done, as a Miami Heat fan, I'm throwing out there to all the Miami Heat fans out there, would you be happy with Butler and Chris Paul in the backcourt? Is that viable? Can it work? Can it work? I know we said the same thing about Russell Westbrook as well. But can a backcourt of Butler and Chris Paul work?
I think that the way those pieces fit together, it works. Chris Paul is the true floor general point guard. He scores a lot, but he scores in an efficient way, or at least he did at his prime. Jimmy Butler, your true off-ball guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 6 foot six wing player, you know, whatever you want to call it. So, like, in that regard, yeah, they fit really well, a lot better than a ball-dominant Russell Westbrook and a ball-dominant James Harden.
Which I can't wait to see them duke it out at the three-point line. They're going to throw down. Give me the ball. No, I'm going to my turn to dribble 18 seconds. Although that's not really Westbrook's game. But it can be.
It's James Harden's game.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones real quick early. 239-337-3776. 239-337-3776. Sean and Lehigh, you're up first on Sheepman and Shepherd today with Pete and Chris here on 99.3 ESPN. Hi, Sean.
Happy Friday, guys. How you doing?
Great. Happy Friday.
Hey, so a couple things real quick. So the first thing I wanted to just touch base on as I was listening to you guys is to answer your question. I think a backcourt of Westbrook and Butler, I mean, I don't know who's getting excited about that other than people that are satisfied with just making it to the playoffs, because that's not a winning backcourt. So,
right.
I mean,
Paul and
you
Butler
get a little bit excited
about
that. But
you mean Chris Paul and Butler?
Oh, but I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. And so my second thing was, so when I woke up this morning and I heard the news that Westbrook was going to Houston, I sounded just like you. I was like, wow, this is great. And then I started listening and talking to some people, and I kind of put it in perspective, and I want to see if you agree with me on this, is that really it's not a big move at all, because think about it. L.A. Clippers, L.A. Lakers, we could safely argue that in the West they're at the 1 and the 2 spot. If you're going to project, we could probably put them at the 1 and the 2, and then you probably put like a Golden State and a Houston, if you're projecting, probably at the 3 spot.
No,
maybe.
No, I put Denver and Utah ahead of both of those teams,
yeah.
And I might put the Clippers at 1. I'd still put the Lakers at 4 or 5. I think Denver is going to be Denver and Utah. I put ahead of them. I put the Lakers maybe 4, and I think Portland maybe at 5. But you know, that's semantic. We're talking a couple of games.
Pete, let me ask you something though, Pete. Wherever you place Houston, the acquisition of Westbrook, does it really move the needle that much? Did they become all of a sudden that much better now that they acquired Westbrook? And I don't think they do.
Well, that's why I don't have him in my top 4. Sean, that's a great question. That's. And you know who's going to have the answer to that question? You know who has the most pressure on him? It's Mike D'Antoni. How in the hell are you going to coach those two at the same time? Like I said, there's got to be some sacrifices made along. If you're going to get back to at least the Western Conference Final, that is going to be fascinating to watch, especially late in ball games, who gets the ball and who's shooting and what's going on. I can't wait.
I will tell you this, though, man. It is what? It's July of 2019. I will tell you what, never in the history of my sports life have I looked forward to an NBA playoffs happening almost a year from now more than I'm looking forward to the playoffs next year, man. Like the Western Conference playoffs are going to be insane.
I agree. It's wide open. Thanks for the call, Sean. And I'm looking forward to, I can't believe I'm saying this in July. I'm actually looking forward to just watching some of the regular season, watching the development possibly. And again, I don't think we're done yet. I don't think we're near done yet. I think Chris Paul is going to get dealt, but just to watch Russell Westbrook and Harden every night, or you know, 3 or 4, that's going to be fascinating.
I want to split this Russell Westbrook on the Rockets up into two different things that Sean just brought up. I do think that the Rockets are significantly better today than they were this time yesterday. That's how little I think of Chris Paul right now. Chris Paul played less than 60 games last year. There was a month-long stretch where James Harden simply had to put the Rockets on his back. He scored over 30 points in something crazy, like 25
many nights over 40 and sometimes 50.
It was unbelievable the offensive load that James Harden was carrying during the regular season last year. Russell Westbrook, yes, I understand he has flaws to his game. He's a career 30% shooter from beyond the arc. It's not good, and it was worse than that last year. His three-point percentage last year, let me look this up, 29% last year.
Yeah.
Horrendous.
Chris Paul's was 35.8%, by the way, in 58 games, in 11 postseason games. It was worse. It went down to 27%.
But you know Russell Westbrook at least is going to bring it every night. Mm-hmm. Played 80 games 4 years ago, 81 3 years ago, 82 years ago, 73 last year. If he can simply give Russell or James Harden a night or two off, I don't know, every other week, like not a lot to ask for here, but just be able to have a night where James Harden says, okay, I don't have to go out and score 35 for my team to have a chance, and I have to do this because we can't throw games away because we're in the Western Conference. Now, with that being said, I think the Rockets are better today than they were yesterday. They are not one of the four best teams in the West right now.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
But you could put them in a five or six.
Yes.
And
but I just,
again, we're really talking about semantics as far as I don't think one, you know, I don't care if you put the Lakers at two, go whatever you want to do. Put the Lakers at two at four. I'll put the Clippers at one, whatever. We're talking about a difference of four or five games between them. One probably in the seventh seed.
But
I mean, there are people out there that Portland has a seventh seed, and they were in the Western Conference Final. I mean, so it's.
But I do think that, you know, this time yesterday, us talking about the Rockets, it was, it's a stale roster. We don't know the dynamics between James Harden and Chris Paul, or if, you know, what we do know, if it's true, it's not good for that team, that they're butting heads constantly. You got a coach that's going into a lame duck year. Like, there was a lot of negativity around the Houston Rockets yesterday at this time. At least today, there's a selling point. Yeah. There's a new thing.
I tend to agree with you, but but the numbers here, once again, when you're talking about guys who are in the top four in touches, so isolations, Harden was first, Westbrook was fourth last year. Touches per game, Harden was fourth, Westbrook is second. Something's got to give. Dribbles, Harden was first, Russell Westbrook is sixth. And they're aggressive when it comes to getting to the basket. Both ranked in the top three in drives per game. Harden was first, Westbrook was third. Westbrook passed 700 times off a drive last year, most in the NBA. Harden, he ranked fourth with 475 such passes. And despite the ball dominance, he's still two of the best playmakers in the NBA. We know that. Harden led the NBA in points scored or assisted on last season. And Russell Westbrook, yes, was second. But there is going to come a time, Chris. You can't beat a man every night. Sometimes you're not going to be the man. That doesn't mean you're not going to have a great game, but you may not be the one that has taking the last second shot. There's going to be a lot of there's going to be a little bit of sacrificing, and there's going to be a lot of ego managing. And Mike D'Antoni, they should give you a $20 million raise right now just for the headaches that you're probably going to have to deal with.
I will say last year, I mean, Russell Westbrook, for all of his flaws, and there are flaws, he is not an efficient player on the offensive side. He's a much better defender than Chris Paul is, just based off athleticism. I mean, the guys actually can get out in passing lanes and get you some easy buckets in transition. But this is a guy who did kind of take a step back so Paul George could have a great year last year. Like, Paul George was third in MVP voting. I think if Russell Westbrook were the type of guy that says, no, this is my team, you're the number two, I'm the number one, fall in line or get out of town. I think if that were his mentality, then Paul George would never be in the top 10 in MVP voting last year. So I at least think that we've seen signs from Russ that he can at least attempt to take a step back and be the number 2, 1B, whatever you want to call it.
I got you. All right, let's head back to the phones. It's 239-337-3776. Jason in Port Charlotte. I'm next here at Sheeman and Shepherd. Pete and Chris in the house today with you. Hi, Jason.
How you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, my comment on this is there's a couple big takeaways from this big trade.
Mm-hmm.
One, back in OKC days, granted Harden was a sixth man, Westbrook and Harden worked better on the floor together than Westbrook and Durant did. Like, nobody remembers that. The plus-minus that they had was outrageous.
Well,
like,
but you know what, Jason? We brought this up on Monday or two. Here's the thing, though. That it was, five years ago, right?
And he was a six-man at times.
Yeah.
So they're both alphas now.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing on this trade is Houston didn't have to give up Capella. They have their inside man. They have their inside defense and their rebounding, which is essential in today's NBA. And, you know, that's mm-hmm. very underappreciated. And the last takeaway on this trade is there's no more big threes in the NBA. It's all now these duos, back to the original Scottie Michael formula. And there's no clear-cut winner, and that's a good win for the NBA because, you know, it was getting boring with Golden State. It was. Watching them fall apart, honestly, was better TV than watching them win the last few years.
Yeah, but don't you – but see, I always think that – and it's on the line, Jason, but I always think that when there is a dominant team out there, I think that's good for any sport. I do. I think back – I said this early in the week.
I don't watch the Super Bowl anymore because of the Patriots.
Yeah, but look, when I was – and I'm 52 years old. Look, but I thought, you know, when Dallas was on top back in the day in San Francisco, the Yankees in baseball, the Reds – I don't know. When there was that one dominant team at times, you can go back to the Celtics and the Lakers and the Bulls. I don't know. I think it's good for sports when there is that team out there that has the bullseye on its back all the time. I understand that it gets frustrating and boring for some, but I think that those kind of dynasties are actually good for the league.
Well, let me ask you, going into this year, are you more willing – are more excited, like that guy said, he's excited for playoff basketball a year away. Mm-hmm. Are you more excited going into this season and waiting for the playoffs with the way everything is now compared to the last few years, knowing Golden State was going to be there?
Well, I'm more excited.
There's way more intrigue.
Even the Golden State situation aside, I'm just totally excited. And Durant's not going to play this year, so Brooklyn, I don't care about Brooklyn. I hope Kyrie Irving's going to go there and poison that team, and Durant's going to have to straighten out that mess in 2 years. But the league is wide open. The West is certainly better than the East, but the East is wide open. There's five, six teams that you would not be surprised if they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. And the West, my God, absolutely stacked. You could have the Portland there as a seven seed. And look at the talent on that team. I mean, so yes, I am very excited, but I'm also excited and intrigued by the chemistry in a lot of these teams and how it's going to work out, you know?
I will say this. If I was the owner of the Oklahoma City Thunder, I would be looking back at the dynasty that never was, and there'd be a lot of people losing a job today.
Yeah.
Like, the entire organization flipped over down to the secretaries.
All right, Jason.
Let that walk away.
You're right. If it was Monday or Tuesday that I went through, remember I did the butterfly of what could have been in Oklahoma City?
Yep.
We talked about it. And really, but you can do that with a lot of teams. But really, if things had stayed the way they were, it would, you know, it's.
Well, and we've got a little mini, like a Woj grenade right now. The Rockets beefing up their roster. Just signing,
another one? Breaking news?
No, free agent center Tyson Chandler, just adding some depth at the center spot. So not a starter, but solid backup that can come in for Clint Capella.
All right. That's great. Remember, we were talking about the end of the season about Chris Paul and Capella. They might try to move both of those contracts.
Now it's
a different story.
The report was initially anybody – except Harden is on the trade block. We are going to do whatever we can to improve this Rockets roster, and anybody but number 13 is touchable. And number mm-hmm. 3 has been the only guy that I can think of that's been on their way out this offseason. They've kept everybody else in town.
Let me read some of these texts on the Stony Brook text line. Swishabig, Paul has been in such a great situation throughout his career and continues to ruin great on paper teams. Keep him out of Miami. Day late, dollar short. Chris Paul is way overrated. Forrest, from what I can remember, those old OKC teams most of the time, Harden had played when Westbrook and Durant said they need. I think your voice texting didn't come out great. Swishabig, do they move Westbrook to the small forward?
Married 1 year. I'm sure you think that, Pete. I don't know what that means. You say something previously.
Team or the league was better with the dominant team.
Oh, yeah. No, I think every league is like that. Look, I'm not talking about.
It is a nice breath. It's a breath of fresh air for the NBA, though, because we went straight out of the Miami Heat 2 and 4 years that felt like it was longer than that. Straight in.
See, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I mean, that's just me personally. I enjoyed it.
I did as well, but I enjoyed it because I'm a Heat fan. I did not enjoy Golden State. I liked it at first. It was fun at first. But after year three of it, I'm done. I got it. You guys are the best. Congratulations. Let's move on, and let's make it so that the other 29 fan bases think, hey, maybe we got a shot.
But it's not
Pete,
like
that. Can I just say something, too? You were talking about teams of the past, like the great dynasties of the past. I think one thing that's different is a lot of those teams were built organically. And this Warriors team, it's like it was to a point. But then when Kevin Durant joined, it was like, give me a break.
I understand all that, but I'm like, I am not – I mean, Golden State Warriors or anybody who roots for them should not have to apologize because they put themselves, because of good ownership and management, despite being in a small market, in position – to make that move. And if they pay more, if they're willing to do it, fine.
And that's fine. But I didn't say that I think that it was cheating that they did it.
I'm not saying you
did. I'm just saying I don't have to like it. I don't have to enjoy it more than I do, you know.
I understand that. But then you have crappy organizations like the Knicks who sit there for decades.
There's about a half a dozen teams that could have had Curry and Thompson.
Absolutely.
Well, your Minnesota Timberwolves drafted Johnny Flynn one pick before.
Yeah. And Ricky Rubio.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Two point guards.
They had two picks before Curry.
Two point guards.
Speaking of Rubio, who just paid Rubio that exorbitant amount?
Utah.
No, the Suns.
No, I'm sorry, the Suns. Yes, yeah.
I did not understand that at all.
$20 million,
right? He's not bad.
No, he's not bad.
It was not worth that money, though. No, I don't think.
The Suns going to do with $20 million?
I don't know.
Both statements can be true.
He's fun. He's a fun player to watch.
Well, we'll continue talking about this as well at 239-337-3776. Coming up a little bit later on today at 3 o'clock, John McMullen's going to join us.
Big surfer, 97.3
FM, and we'll talk. Covers the NFL up in the South Jersey area, but also is up on every team in the NFL. So we'll talk to John, get his thoughts. Wikipedia coming up at 4:45 because Chris is going to Europe this weekend for 2 weeks on the book tour. It's European geography or something like that, whatever genre.
It ends up being a lot of geography,
really?
But it's
cool.
Some people might.
Excellent.
Get upset because not straight geography. So
all right, well, no one gets upset on this show, especially Wikipedia. So it's fun for the whole family. So all that part of the Sheeman and Shepherd experience on a Friday. Craig will be back on Monday. 239-337-3776. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime, played it till my fingers bled.
Yeah, what a summer that was. That was two. Incredible summer. Now, I will ask Chris, since he discovered the world of TJ Maxx yesterday for the first time, in case you missed it yesterday on the show, he did not know TJ Maxx was a clothing store. I thought it was an arts and crafts store. Went in there and made purchases, and you went back there again today. The reason I bring it up is because Brian Adams here, talking about the summer of 69, says he bought his first six string at the Five and Dime. I asked Chris, do you know what a Five and Dime is?
I mean, I'm assuming it's a dollar store.
Sort of, but not really.
Back in the days when nickels and dimes were probably worth what a dollar is now.
Well, okay.
Woolworths. Did they have Woolworths up in Minnesota?
Absolutely.
Okay, they have that down here back in the day?
Ooh. Yeah, Woolworths was what they called a Five and Dime.
Yeah, it was a Five and Dime. Actually, had a pretty good counter there, too.
Discount store.
Burgers and grilled cheese.
Yeah, and shakes.
Yeah, shakes. Oh, those were the days. Your mom would take you shopping. You'd go to Woolworths and try to, can I get this game? Can I get that game? No.
I went back to TJ Maxx today.
You went back again today.
Yeah, I needed underwear.
They have underwear at TJ Maxx?
I got a three-pack for $10.
I didn't know
bucks.
They had underwear
Come
there.
Come on now. Good stuff, too. I think it was Adidas brand.
So you're all packed and you're ready to go.
I'm leaving tomorrow.
How many suitcases?
For the four of us, four of my family, we're doing five suitcases, which I am very proud of. Very proud of that.
How much extra is that? $100 a bag? $50 a bag?
No, everybody gets one bag free.
Oh.
And then the second bag, I think, is $50.
Okay, maybe. Wow.
Yeah, so it was...
And you get one carry-on.
I was really, really proud of everybody. When I say everybody, I mean me.
No, you're proud of your wife, because I'm sure your wife did 99%
of the packing. No, my wife has two bags. What are you talking about?
No, but she probably did 99% of the packing.
No, absolutely
not. Oh, you packed for your kids? No way.
Absolutely. I helped.
Oh, please. Challenge. How did
I
you
help?
Here's some socks, honey.
I helped.
You would have got to Europe and your kids would have had like one t-shirt and a bathing suit and maybe a couple pairs of underwear.
They do laundry over there, right?
Dry cleaning? Well, you guys are going to have a great time.
I hope
There's a book tour, yeah. And make sure you go Facebook Live. You can see the book tour.
Yeah, throughout
all of Europe. 239-337-3776. Sound Street coming up in just a little bit. Again, big news that happened once again in the NBA. It continues to rival the NFL for an incredible offseason as Oklahoma City is sending Russell Westbrook to the Houston Rockets for Chris Paul and some protected first-round picks. And listen to this stat. Chris sort of touched on it. Oklahoma City could have 15 first-round picks over the next 7 years. They could have 15 first-round picks over the next 7 years.
It's unbelievable.
Holy cow.
Unbelievable.
Yep. It really is.
I mean, it's the best way to do the – look, they realized this Westbrook-Paul George thing not going to work out. So when Paul George comes and requests the trade – they capitulate. They get a haul back from the Clippers because the Clippers are saying, what do we need all these assets for? We're getting Kawhi for 4 years. Actually, 3 years. The player option on the last. And Paul George, we're good. These are going to be picks 30 for the next few years. Well, it may not look like that. And same thing with the Rockets. We know Daryl Morey doesn't care about 5 years from now.
No, he doesn't.
He cares about next season, and then we'll figure it out after that.
And part of me loves that. I mean, you got to play to win now. However, as we've seen from other teams in the past, especially in the NBA, you can be in NBA purgatory very quickly if you do not win. It only takes a couple of years and some bad contracts or an injury here or there, and you can become stuck in that 8th, 9th, 10th seed mode for many years until you realize you really have to tank it, which Adam Silver says doesn't happen.
yeah,
but Adam
right.
Silver's also going to have to come up with some sort of a – do you think they're going to have to sort of retool how free agency is working here somehow, some way? As far as the tampering that's absolutely going on, and we all know what it is, the recruiting and the tampering – that is going on. I think he's going to try to do something.
I don't know why he would try to do anything with free agency. We have done nothing but talk about the NBA in the month of July. It's not broken. Why are we going to try to fix it?
But there are a lot of people, including he's even said it himself, that he's not happy with the way a lot of this is, the leaks that are coming out. I mean, if you believe the Kevin Durant story about, Brooklyn didn't even know he was going there until he put it on Instagram. I mean, that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know who's telling the truth and who's sports fibbing. But I do think that Adam, the commissioner, thinks that something has to be tweaked. Certainly seems that way. But the other question throughout you guys at 239-337-3776 again, if the Miami Heat do get Chris Paul, are you in favor of that? I know there's a lot of variables there, depending on who they would have to give up. And I am going to throw it out there, as I did earlier in the show, Chris and I, about we're going to say that it's not Bam doesn't go and Tyler Herro doesn't go.
And Justice Winslow.
And Justice
I think those
Winslow.
Are the three pieces, if you're able to keep them. Kelly Olynyk's a good player. You can afford to get rid of him.
Goran Dragic.
Goran Dragic, you're getting a point guard in return.
Kendrick Nunn, Derek Jones Jr., James Johnson, Myers Leonard, those type of guys. And do you want him? Do you even want him? Or would you like to see the Heat just stay and stand pat and go with this starting five, which would be Dragic, Butler, Winslow, Olynyk, and Adebayo, which is not bad.
No, it's not bad.
It's not bad. And in the East this year, could they end up as a top four team? I think between 4 and 6 or 4 and 7 is going to be like 2 to 3 games. I think it's going to be that close.
Yeah, I don't think that the Heat are one of those teams that are in the upper echelon that are going to be able to compete with the likes of Philly and Milwaukee. Would I be surprised if, you know, and then I think that you go that next rung down. That's where you get into the Celtics. I don't think that the roster is better than the Celtics right now. So that's 4. That's 3 teams that I put ahead of them.
Yeah.
Now, would it surprise anybody, you know, if Toronto comes back and has a really good...
Toronto's got everybody back except for Kawhi. But a lot of people are picking them like 6th in the East.
Yeah,
it's all subjective right now. You're talking a 6 seed winning, you know, 53 games as opposed to 55 or 56. So I don't know.
I kind of put him in that 4, 5, 6, 7, I think would be a disappointing year. But yeah, I think that's a fair place to put the Heat right now.
All right, 239-337-3776. We continue to take your phone calls on this subject. Let's go to Joey in Port Charlotte up next here on 99.3 ESPN with Pete and Chris in the house today. What's up, Joey?
Hey, first, I love you guys' show, even when Craig isn't there.
Thanks. Well, Craig will be back on Monday. We miss Craig, but...
Yeah, I know. I love Craig. Point. I love all you guys. But you just answered my question about Chris Paul going to the Heat. I was going to ask you, would the Miami Heat still be in the run for Chris Paul, and do you think a third team could be in the run if they try to go and get Chris Paul?
Yes, and yes, yes, yeah, I do, Joey. I do think there's going to have to be a third team involved. With it's all a question of what does Pat Riley, that all that money we talked about that Chris Paul has owed, especially he's older and later, older and has got more money due in that final year when he's 37 years old. You want to be paying him $40 million or whatever it is, some ridiculous amount of money. And I do think a third team is going to get involved. I don't see Chris Paul staying with Oklahoma City, right? I think we agree on that.
Toronto lost Danny Green as well. Thank you, everybody.
Yes.
Yes, Danny Green is now a Laker.
That's right.
Now, what?
Starting backcourt with LeBron James, right, even though Frank Vogel says no.
Now, looking at it, if OKC does hold on to Chris Paul, the Lakers can make a deal once we get into the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
They can't make a deal prior to that because of cap numbers and how it works out. But once we get into the regular season, they would be a team that would be able to go out and make a deal for Chris Paul. Now, what that deal is, I don't know, but they at least have the opportunity versus right now there's no shot. So does OKC just kind of stand pat and say, we're going to hold on to Chris Paul this year, hopefully when he's the alpha and the guy that we're going to rely on for a majority of our offense, be it assists or scoring, maybe he ups his trade value, and then before the All-Star break, a contending team needs a point guard, and that's when we pull the trigger on making this deal.
Sure.
So I don't think OKC
very plausible
has
theory
to make this deal.
No, they don't
right
have
now
to, but I still I think depending on if Miami really wants him, maybe Miami doesn't want Chris Paul. Maybe Pat Riley wants nothing to do with him. I don't know. Let's get a sneak another call in before Soundstream. Pittsburgh Brian up next here on Sheeman and Shepherd with Pete and Chris today on 99.3 ESPN. Hey, Pittsburgh Brian.
Hey, Pete and Chris. Chris, safe and happy travels for you, okay, bud?
Thank you very much.
Got an whole entourage for his book tour. It's crazy.
There you go. Got a question for you guys. First of all, I don't know the current roster of OKC, and with that being said, how far out do you think they are to develop into an actual contender with all these draft picks, which they can trade and or what they currently have?
Well, I'll tell you this, Brian, stay on the line. This this would be right now the projected starting lineup if the season started today. It'd be Chris Paul, obviously. It'd be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's at the shooting guard. Terrence Ferguson, small forward. Danilo Gallinari is a real good player at power forward. And Steven Adams is a real good center. So it's not bad at all, but it's in the West. As we talk, they're in the West. And that's like it's maybe a 7th seed. Maybe. Maybe out of the playoffs, to be honest with you. That's how competitive the West is, but...
And now that they have all these draft choices, can they trade these draft choices for a player?
Well, I think so, and that's why I think a third team is going to get involved if the Miami Heat, and some of the rumors out there about Chris Paul maybe going there, or if they're going to deal Chris Paul, I do think it's going to take three teams and draft picks, absolutely.
It sounds like they might be set up in the future in another 5 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and I'm wondering where Billy Donovan stands and how he feels about all of this, you know, right now. Thanks for the call, Brian. Appreciate it. Have
and
a great weekend.
When going through the Eastern Conference, I always do this. I forget about Indiana.
It's the Pacers.
I'm sorry, Pacers fans. You're not front of my – yes, they're right there with Boston, kind of the three or four seed.
Celtics and Indiana Pacers. I put the 76ers right now on paper a little bit ahead of them, and Milwaukee a little bit ahead of them, but not by much. Not by much. All right, 239-337-3776. 239-337-3776. When we come back, more on this big trade last night between the Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Lots of reaction during Sound Street.
Roger Federer just outing Rafa in four sets. It sets up a Federer-Djokovic final Sunday morning for Wimbledon.
Excellent. Excellent. What outstanding. All right. Great stuff. All right, Sound Street is next right here on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I think this is serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
All righty. Well, the big story is, of course, what happened last night between Houston and Oklahoma City, big trade, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, and here's Adrian Wojnarowski, who broke the story last night, this morning on Get Up.
Once the Paul George trade happened with the Clippers, you know, it started in motion, the idea that Oklahoma City would trade Russell Westbrook. And he and James Harden talked right in the aftermath of the Paul George deal and started to discuss the idea of reuniting together. And Russell Westbrook, James Harden got what they wanted, and the Thunder, between 2020 and 2026, they have the potential of having 15 first-round picks. They've added 8 first-round picks in Oklahoma City since draft night.
Meanwhile, Stephen A., who was off today, well, Kane filled in for him, but Stephen A. Loves the deal.
I love it personally because I think it puts Houston back in the championship picture. Let's face reality. Looking at the Houston Rockets, we all felt like their window of opportunity had come and gone. We still recognize that Russell Westbrook is a superstar. He's unguardable one-on-one. He's 4 years younger than Chris Paul. He's bigger, stronger, faster, and more athletic than Chris Paul. Certainly not the adroit point guard that Chris Paul is, but he more than makes up for it with what he brings to the table, particularly when you consider what you're getting in James Harden. And then last but not least, their relationship is better. And you had better believe that James Harden had everything to do with convincing Daryl Morey and Tillman Fertitta, the owner, to pull the trigger on this deal. It's something that they knew would make them relevant again. This is a dynamic duo that can rival anybody's dynamic duo in the NBA. I love it. My only question is about Mike D'Antoni. It ain't about these players.
You got that right. And also, it's great to say those things about Westbrook and Harden playing together, and they're all chummy. Yeah, for now. But for reasons that we talked about in the first hour, let's see what happens when push comes to shove in some of these games down the stretch and who gets the ball and who's bitching and moaning after when they don't get it. You know, friendship sort of goes out the door at times like these. I've seen it too many times. You never know. Maybe it works out. Maybe it works out. Hopefully it will. But it's definitely, I think he's right. They're better now than they were before. Meanwhile, Royce Young, who covers OKC for ESPN, had this to say about the deal.
The Rockets were far and away the preferred destination for Russell Westbrook. He wanted to reunite with James Harden, who's one of his close friends in the NBA. And as both those guys really, Freddie, they want to rewrite the narratives about him. And they feel like they could kind of do that together. They both had pretty public postseason failures. And they feel like that, why not just get together and see if they can correct some of that stuff.
Yep, and Ryan Hollins went on to say on First Take that he thinks Westbrook will elevate Harden's game.
Russell Westbrook is a guy who loves the pass, loves to make other guys better, loves to move the basketball. If I'm not mistaken, last year, Paul George had his best year as a professional. So for that a guy is who is deemed as a ball hog, he came in third in MVP voting, and that's a lot of Russell Westbrook. I understand, Will, he shot 29% from three. He needs to fix that. But guess what? When you're out of rhythm and you choose to defer, a la Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, things like that happen.
All right. And they deal. We'll continue to talk about this deal and throughout the program, absolutely. And I already had some great thoughtful discourse from you listeners out there. Hopefully a lot more as well. Coming up right next hour, we have John McMullen's going to join us from 97.3 ESPN affiliate in South Jersey. Talk some NFL football with him. Whole lot more. Bon Voyage Day for Chris as he heads to these, the book tour, Bon Voyage.
Are you talking?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're going away
1 hour
for a couple of weeks. Yeah, it's right. It's amazing that you're still
I'm here
mentally,
in person.
You're here. You are here in person. This trade helped. I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
this deal didn't help. Keeps you focused because it's a possibility. It absolutely did. That was my first.
Kind of like
last
giving
night.
An antsy kid a toy.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
it's
it.
A shiny object.
Yeah,
down the corner.
Yeah. Here's an NBA binky. Stick it in your mouth. You know. There we go. 239-337-3776. John McMullen will join us in hour number two of Sheeman and Shepherd coming up next on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.